question, what are the ethics of friendship? Hi, I'm Steve Donaldson, and this is Thinking Out Loud, an ongoing series of philosophical dialogues with everyday people. The question before us today is, what are the ethics of friendship? And let's begin. We'll start, as we usually do, with introductions and first reactions. Eugene?
Well, I'm Uri Fields, and I will withhold any reaction at this time.
Okay. And next we'll go to Steve Stokes.
I'm Steve Stokes, talking through cyberspace from Atlanta, Georgia. And I've been examining the question of friendships for some time now, so I'm looking forward to this discussion.
All right. And Debbie?
Okay. I'm Debbie Martin from the South Florida area, and I've also examined and thought a lot about friendships over the course of my lifetime, and wonder where everybody gets their feeling for them, how people end up treating friendships, you know, the way they do, and why they treat them the way they do, and also what, you know, to me, one aspect of it that is unique and I find really interesting is that they appear to be very disposable to certain people. But in any event, I'm also looking forward to discussing it.
All right, very good. It seems to me like it's one of those topics that anybody in any culture in any time ought to be able to relate to. Insofar as I can't imagine a time where there was no such thing as friendship. It's pretty, an interesting question would be among, I imagine even among animals there's such a thing as friendship. What is it exactly? Go ahead, Steve. I see you have your hand up.
I think you brought up two points that it seems that within humans, friendship is universal, that across all cultures, all pockets of humanity, friendships are a natural occurrence. And I'm going to kind of go the opposite direction and lean towards suspecting that humans have friendships unique, that other animals don't really have true friendships.
Yes,
okay. An interesting distinction and a word that we may need to work on a little bit is the idea of true friendship as opposed to some other kind, I suppose. And
I wanted to by true, I meant that we might see in animals behavior that we amorphize sort of project our human concept of friendship on those things, like a pair of lovebirds. We might see them behaving and mistake their behavior for friendship.
All right.
And that's why I'm using true friendship, not within a human friendship. You know, there are false friendships or pseudo friendships or pretended friendships, and that's not the type of true friendship I was referring to actually right there.
All right. Debbie, do you have any thoughts on that so far?
Well, I mean, I feel pretty much the same way in that other, you know, animals and so on don't really have what humans would think of as friendship. I think they have, you know, reproductive qualities, and they have some type of relationships with their other, with their peers or with the opposite sex, but I don't really think they have a quote-unquote friendship the way humans think of that. I think that's kind of a higher level idea that an animal wouldn't really, I think animals, you know, act more upon their instincts and things like that. And I just don't really think that they would know what a friendship is, that they would, that would be part of their, what part of what they could really do as an animal. I think that they can show, you know, they can show affection, but I think that's different than a friendship.
Okay, very good. A couple of words that you use that I want to focus on, because I think it's adding meat to the conversation here. You refer to humans being capable of a higher level, an idea of it's a kind of relationship, but it's on a higher level. And the sort of the flip side of that, you mentioned, use the word instinct as sort of the opposite, or the other side of the coin, so to speak, that you can have a relationship that is purely on the instinct level, and that's of a different nature. I see UJ, you hand up. UJ, did you
want to? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind, we probably should not even deal with animals.
Okay.
Although we are animals. Mm-hmm. And because there's so many differences in animals, and yet there are similarities, biological, and all this kind of stuff. But it seems to me that we think about friendship, we really are talking about a special type of relationship.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, it's so special until most people can count the friends on their hand, mm-hmm. on their fingers. And so it's very different. We are born into families, as someone sort of mentioned earlier, but the point is, we choose our friends, or we are chosen by them. It probably is reciprocal. And probably, unless it's reciprocal, it is not what you might call a full-blown friendship. And even though it has a connection with love, friendship and love are not synonymous. You can love people that you are not friends with in terms of friendship. So I think Emerson said some time ago, he who would have a friend must first be a friend. And so this sort of indicates that there got to be some kind of a positive action that we take, that we will. In other words, we choose to be a friend. Mm-hmm. So what I see is that friendship is so special, and I would like to distinguish between friendship and acquaintanceship. Oh, yeah, people we get along with. We may go to play golf with them, we may go fishing, we may do this, but we don't count those necessarily. It's not, they cannot be, but we may do all these things with them. And they're pretty intimate things. Of course, it may be so intimate we have sex, we may marry them and not be friends. I once conducted a seminar to tell them our seminar was high couples can become friends. Speaking primarily of people who are either married or in that kind of intimacy relationship.
So it seems that friendship is in a category all by itself. When you were mentioning all these different kinds of relationships you can have acquaintances, business associates, sexual relationships, even being married, and that's not that and being a friend is in a category all by itself.
Exactly.
And Steve, go ahead.
Trying to bring us back to the ethics of friendship and using that as our magnetic core for our conversation. I think the first ethic of friendship is that nobody is obligated to be somebody else's friend. I mean, you can't oblige someone to be your friend. It's something that the individual has to actively initiate on their own, kind of. Just because somebody sees me and thinks that they want to have me as a friend, that can't be leveraged enough to make me, you know, want them as a friend.
All right.
So I think that's the first ethic that we have to look at. You know, what are the rules of how a friendship gets started, kind of thing.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I can stop there and let somebody else add to it.
Yeah, I'm going to just paraphrase. It sounds to me like it boils down to in what you're saying is it's got to be voluntary and a mutual. Would that be fair?
Yes.
To say that, Steve?
Yeah, I think for a complete friendship. Now, certainly unilaterally, people can see other people and desire them as friends. They can. I think that this is sort of one of the ways that it happens, is that you see a person behaving, and for some reason it appeals to you. It either you harmonize with the way they are, or they fulfill something that you don't have. But there's something that, you know, one person is attracted to the other person as this friendship. And then it's just a matter of, you know, pursuing that course to the point where that other person turns around and mutually sees the first person as also a friend, and then you've got a complete friendship off and running.
All right, all right. And Debbie, you had your hand up earlier. I don't know if you wanted to add
that. I mean, it just kind of occurred to me while Steve was talking, I wonder sort of, it sounds like a funny thing to say, but I wonder how you know when it is a complete friendship. In other words, maybe there's times where I thought I had I'm going to use that word because it makes it a little more definitive, like where I thought I had a complete friendship, and maybe I really didn't. And I wonder how, I mean, that's getting off on a little bit of a different tangent, but I wonder how you do know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's a feeling, but it's just sort of interesting to me. I wonder if I've ever maybe just had that feeling and it wasn't the correct feeling. It wasn't an accurate feeling.
All right. I think that's a great question. Is how do you know? One thing that comes to my mind as maybe a second ethic. Where that comes to my mind is honesty. The first ethic that Steve referred to is, you know, is a voluntary and mutual. But then once you have something, you'd like to, or you need to, or maybe it's part of, you know, for to have a complete friendship, a necessary ingredient is that what is expressed by one is that you can depend on that being sincere or you know something along those lines. How does that sound to anybody?
Well, the sincerity part of it, I see where you're going, but to me that's more of a function of the individual's integrity.
Uh-huh.
That if you're getting sincerity out of a person, it's because you have a very high integrity person that isn't insincere in general, and that their sincerity in their relationships is just another part of them, you know, having high integrity. It's not so much that I'm going to be sincere with a friend and insincere with non-friends. I'm just either a very sincere person or I lack sincerity in the way I conduct my life.
Okay.
I think.
Daddy, go ahead.
Well, I was going to add something to it. I'm not sure if I actually always, if I think this is a necessary ingredient, but I wanted to say with what you were saying, Steve Donaldson, that you were saying, somebody who's, you know, honesty and being honest with each other would be an ethic of friendship. But at the same time, I feel like it's a friendship would also, one would have the desire to make the other one, the other person or their friend sort of feel good or lift them up in a way. I think that's, but, I sort of hesitated when I was thinking about it then right at the end because I do think it's very important to be honest. I mean, I do think that should be an ethic of friendship. But but at the same time, maybe not like slam it, you know, not throwing something in someone's face where like, or I should say maybe not being like brutally honest at all times, because I feel like another important aspect would be that somebody would care about the other person's feelings as their friend.
I think that's I think both you and Steve are really onto something here about dissecting further. Well, my comment in retrospect is a little bit too broad a statement. I think you're right. There is something about friendship, I think, that needs to be honest, but not the kind of total honesty. Maybe honesty is not the right word, maybe, but you just on the tail end there, Debbie, you used another word that I think maybe is the more appropriate word that maybe I was looking for, and that's you said something about you had to care for the other person,
and right here, or sort of be supportive of the other person. Right. I think is an ethic of you have to honestly feel like you're there, you're rooting for them. You want to see something good happen. So you're like trying to be supportive, obviously not of a something that's endangering someone, but as supportive as possible.
Good. Steve, you want to have something? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to agree with what Debbie's saying, and the way that I see it is I work on the assumption that everyone is trying to have the best life they can have. And I think that friends want to be allies with their friends' effort to have the best life that they can. And I think supportive is a good substitute for being allied with this other person in their endeavor to rack up for themselves the best life that they can have. And that's why, sometimes doing that means not being brutally honest, and sometimes it means being brutally honest. It just depends on your evaluation of what it is going to take for that person to achieve the best life possible. Like going out into public looking like a slob might make you want to be brutally honest and say, you should drag a comb through your hair there. Or it might also in the same situation mean you've been depressed for the last week. Let's go out to a movie and don't worry about what your hair looks like, kind of. So, the same sort of situation, but just different kind of what's called for in that moment. So definitely support, getting to that point where you feel allied to this other person, that you want to do what you can to help them have the best life possible. Another example, I don't know, maybe I'm going too long, Steve, tell me if I am.
Hold that thought, because UJ had his hand up, so
okay.
We'll cycle through. Go ahead, UJ.
The questions are coming to my mind, what are friends for? It's sort of like, what are children for to marriage? During the agriculture period, many people had children because they needed farmhands. That was that idea, to work on the farm. Some people have children because they say, when I get old, I want somebody to take care of me, I'm sick. So I think the question becomes very important, and if we examine it, we may discover something about whether or not we really have, in quote, are pursuing true friends, or whether we are pursuing some kind of a caretaker, a supporter, or somebody who's going to bail us out. At least we have that kind of intention that would happen. We cannot tell. Like many parents who have children cannot tell what will happen. Many times they're disappointed at home because their expectations didn't work out. So what are friends for? I happen to feel, though, in spite of what Emerson said, and I quoted a little while ago, he would have a friend, must be a friend. These two are not diametrically opposed. But it seems to me that friends are discovered. In other words, take no credit for your friends. If per chance you find one or more, then by all means, be grateful. And by chance, if someone finds you as a friend, but don't just assume that anyone has found you as being their friend. Subject that to scrutiny, examination, and see what you come up with. So it sort of boils down to like B.F. Skinner said, about freedom and so forth. Take no credit for it. It happens or it doesn't happen.
Okay. Good. Let me get Debbie in here. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, if it's okay to sort of interject some of my original thought, I just wanted to know if any of you others in the discussion have ever felt that way, though, that friendships, you know, from other people you've met in your life don't seem to be valued very highly, or people just sort of, like I was saying, you know, dispose of them at any point in time without sometimes what might appear to you to really not have any reason or not have any, you know, not have much of a reason. So it's a little bit of a sidetrack, but I just want to know if anyone's had that feeling, or if they could answer maybe what they think goes on in other people at times that would make them feel that way, that it's just not a very important thing for them.
Well, let me, for my part, say that I tend to be a pretty private person to begin with, so it's not like I'm setting myself up for that many occasions where somebody can, you know, dispose of our friendship. So I haven't run into that often. I can't think of an occasion. But I do want to mention, because this question does relate to what I was trying to get at earlier, but sort of missed the mark a little bit. When I was talking about honesty, because it seems to me that in this particular situation where there's a difference of expectation between the two parties, one thought, oh, well, you know, this is, you know, something solid that's going to last, and the other party evidently had a very different understanding that, oh, you know, I didn't take it as that, and, you know, for me it was sort of take it or leave it, and that's the kind of I don't know what you call it, miscommunication or what the factor is there, but I think that certainly seems to be part of the issue. Steve Stokes, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree that there's definitely that sort of thing going on where one person is more about the friendship than the other person, and I'm trying to figure out all sorts of different things. There's, you know, the saying that blood is thicker than water, which I guess gets revealed time and time again, that you know, as evolved beings, you know, our genetic code would seem to be paramount, that's what we're interested in pushing forward. And so this whole friendship thing is a variant, an abnormality to this whole, you know, why should we care about somebody who isn't, you know, our blood, isn't our genetic material, because we're little genetic engines trying to pass our DNA forward into history. That's how we got to where we were, or the engines before us passed their DNA and along we are. So what is it about a friend who shares no DNA code with you whatsoever? Why should you care if they succeed or fail or are happy or what? I mean, and friendships certainly go beyond the what can this person do for me kind of thing, because you get to the point where you're trying to figure out what can I do for this person, and it's all just very unexpected in the whole scheme of DNA and genetics and everything. But humans, and then the other thing that's hitting me is, you know, the tenuousness of human existence. You know, we die off very easily. And so when we suffer loss, it seems as if our species had to develop a way to go on, even though our dear friend Org got killed by the Mastodon in this week's hunt. And I don't know if that has to tie back into the disposability of friendship, that there's a mechanism that's built in there. my own personal life experience is one of moving around. My dad was in construction, and so my childhood was spent in one town for 5 years and another part of the country for another 5 years, and so I know I had childhood friends, and maybe childhood friends should be an exception and we should just be talking about adult friends, but you know, I haven't talked to my two best men from my wedding. That kind of lost contact with them shortly after, you know, getting married. So that's like 24 years where these guys that were so significant at friends that they were my best men. And yet it's not due to a lack of faithfulness to the friendship. It's just the way things happen.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You, Jack.
Now, I wouldn't take the DNA genetic kind of a emphasis too seriously, because in a very definite way, the whole human race has the same genetic DNA code, and that's what makes us the human species, rather than for the birds, for example. And what we discover is that there are people who have more vital and meaningful relationships with people who are not connected with them family-wise than people in their own families. As a matter of fact, it may be one of the reasons we don't marry within our own little circle, because that's a danger. And I think when we look at community and we look at humanity, in a sense, we get far beyond this thing of blood is thicker, you know, than water. That's an axiom we've heard, and sometimes we're led to believe it. And I suppose if people just stay in a little circle like people used to do when they lived in rural life and so forth, that's true. But the people you relate to strongly may be not in another state. You understand me? They may not even live near you. So I certainly would not place too much emphasis on that. The other thing I see is that there can be such thing as short-term or brief friendships, and there can be long-term friendships. And friendship, and we have to look first place that nothing is permanent. Everything is temporal. We are all terminal. So what I see is we need to relate to friendship not so much about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? Nietzsche to say, expect nothing, be rid of everything. Is to hide to deal with the now. What am I doing with a particular individual that I call a friend or whatever right now? And not based on the fact, you know, this may be dissolved. I wrote a little poem that says about people so seldom say I love you, and then it's too late, and when love goes, but I don't know that you will leave. But if you leave, I know you're not going to stay. But I just want to let you know why I see you or why I'm with you, that I love you. Because you're not going to be around, or I'm not going to be around. So I guess what we need to do is cherish, nourish, enjoy, delight in the now.
Well, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to change that. It was just one word there, because I think what you hit on, to get back to the topic of the ethics of friendship, is one possible ethic would be that, because we talked about how it starts, and we talked a little bit about, and I think we can talk more about how they end or when they should end or what the ethics of ending, but you just did on a beautiful articulation, I think, of the middle, which is an ethic might be that in the relationship, it's to be cherished and enjoyed and these other adjectives that you use apply to the friendship itself, it seems to me. Not just the present moment, but the friendship. But I'm intrigued now about sort of what we were sort of getting towards, and that is the ethics of ending friendship, because that kind of hits to the beginning of the core part of Debbie's question was, some people treat friendships more disposable than others. And right. One aspect of that I mentioned is that it seems to be a difference in communication. Or another important word seems to be expectation. that there are different expectations. And it also goes to what Steve Stokes was talking about, family situations where there might be expectations of that relationship, but that's a whole different topic maybe, that, you know, the ethics of family relationships. What we're talking about here is the ethics of friendship. But it seems to be in any relationship, expectation is something that we need to deal with. And also you said everything is nothing is permanent, everything comes to an end. So the question is, what's the ethics of ending a relationship? So anyway, a lot of interesting things. I see Steve got both hands up. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, UJ said something interesting about the temporariness of everything, but I think friendship, as with love, is sort of, there's this expectation that it will last forever. I don't think people start friendships expecting that it's going to be a temporary thing, or that it's going, that it's not going to last forever.
I was going to say, at least not like what we were talking about, where we refer to it as a complete friendship. If you have like a, you know, say like an office friendship or something, maybe that is a little bit different expectations, but a real friendship or a genuine or a complete one, I definitely agree. I don't think people get into it with an expectation that at some point it's not going to work out.
Right.
Okay.
To paraphrase the song, you know, what is, if friendships aren't forever, what's forever for? I can see this is going to be a 2-year friendship that we're getting ourselves into, and I'm okay with a 2-year friendship. We'll terminate it in 24 months. I don't think people, you know, I think people are generally shocked if a friendship ends without there being a cause. You know, people will go like, well, we were friends, we were good friends, and we were having a great time being friends, but then all of a sudden we stopped being friends, and I want to know why. What did I do? What happened? What, you know, is the question. If people aren't satisfied to just let a friendship stop without knowing, you know, the reason for its stoppage.
Okay. I'm going to make one distinction there, Steve, and that is the difference between expectation and what happens. We can have expectations that things last and discover that they don't, and that's not a contradiction. That you know, from your life experience, I think you were saying that actually your experience, you've had a number of friendships that that haven't lasted till today, but that doesn't mean there was something wrong with the friendship. I don't think necessarily. Do you want to respond to that, or?
I'll agree that that doesn't mean that there was something wrong with the friendship, that the friendship didn't last forever. So part of our ethics of friendships is that they don't have to last forever in order to be true, complete, full friendships. Although we would expect that once you've got a good thing going, that it would continue without something stopping it from. Then I had another thought that kind of is eluding me. I'm trying to get a hold of it, and it's along the same lines. But
okay, well, let me get that. I'll let you. We'll come back to you. And you just had to send them.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say, Steve, that friendships may not last forever. You just had said earlier, what is forever for? It is not to last in friendships. So you come around to a little different way of looking.
Well,
in
defense of Steve, I mean, there's no contradiction between wanting something to last forever and the fact that it not lasts forever.
This is probably the problem in why many friendships are dissolved, like many marriages, because of expectations.
Well, I think we should deal with expectations.
So many expectations are unrealistic to start with, and we have our expectations many times formed by what we have been brought up with, socialized, and action, you know, and that kind of a thing. And you know, you want this because your parents or whatever had it. So really, expectations can be a torpedo in any kind of relationship, really.
Uh-huh.
So that is something that I think we should almost de-emphasize as being a barometer in terms of to make a determination. Now, we said, somebody raised a question is, can they end without a cause? That's always a cause. But sometimes we don't know the cause because we are not listening. It's not as if the other person can tell us. It's like I use marriage because there's a relationship between these. It's not as if you understand me that sometimes a man may say, gee, I thought everything was going on all right in this relationship. I never saw her tell me anything like this and so forth and so on, and then it's dissolved. But the point is, if that person had been listening, he probably would have heard a whole lot that he missed.
Okay. Now, two things. Bringing back to friendship, I think that's a good metaphor, good analogy that we can sort of maybe draw on, but bringing back to friendship, two things. One is to bring back to friendship, and let's think about if that's sort of an awkward kind of ending, I think you hit on it. What I'm getting at is, because the topic is what's the ethics of friendship, and it seems to me that if there's an ethical way for friendships to end, it would have something to do with being sensitive to what's going on, which involves listening, and adjusting expectations or something along those lines.
And one other thing let me throw in the end, because you made this point, and the other thing is this. As someone said, if you love somebody, set them free. Mm. If they go away and stay, they never was there. If they come back, same thing about friendship. That's a good ending of friendship. If the person, set that person free.
Uh-huh.
And if that person comes back, he's your friend.
Oh, well, let me get Debbie in here. Debbie, your thoughts?
Oh, I apologize. I actually had to leave put the microphone down for the last couple minutes, so I missed a lot of what UJ said probably, and maybe a little Steve, but
we're talking about a couple of things. So one is whether expectations, whether it's reasonable, whether it's one should have the expectation of how expectations lead us astray when they don't coincide with what actually happens, and that we might be upset that something ended because we had the expectation that it would last longer. And is that the problem of the relationship, or is that a problem with our expectation? That was one sort of line of thought. The other is there an ethical way to deal with a relationship ending that's more desirable than one that ends up with bad feelings because of whatever reasons? So anyway, that's kind of what we were talking about.
Okay. Well, I think do you want to still say, were you saying something else? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You had your hand up, and I wanted to give you a chance to join in.
Well, two things I was thinking about, but just to comment on one of yours is, I think one of the ethical ways, to end a friendship is probably first and foremost in talking about that aspect of it would be honest. I mean, I think that just the stopping speaking to somebody, not returning a call, not having communication with the person is not an ethical way to end a friendship. I think that, at that point, if you're not interested in the friendship anymore, I think you have to find a way to somehow convey it to the person. So that's where I know that's where I feel, very hurt by it. And obviously it would be a nice, not obviously, but in my opinion, it would be an ethical thing to probably give some kind of an explanation as to what happened. I think to leave the other party in the friendship with some kind of closure or something to at least think about or whatever. That certainly is,
Well,
far away more ethical than. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, let me the devil's advocate or hypothetical or just sort of a test case here. Let's suppose somebody, one of the two people in the relationship in the friendship, doesn't feel like hanging out with this person anymore, and doesn't really have a good explanation other than I'm tired of doing this or whatever. Is that what you'd want to hear, you know, from that person? Would that make you feel better, or is it just like inadequate?
I mean, I think that, like, I know one time when I was living in, you know, in Chicago, I guess it was, you know, after I was through with college or whatever, and I was had lived in Chicago for about 5 years or so, and I was friends with a Russian guy that my sister had, you know, and I, or whatever, she'd introduced me to him. And after a certain point, I think he just said to me, oh, he didn't really feel like we had very much in common. So I think he kind of was, that was his way of saying, you know, probably he's not maybe enjoying hanging out anymore because maybe we don't have whatever it is. Maybe he just didn't find me interesting. We didn't have that many things in common to really talk about. You know, but although it's always been, I mean, I suppose for the most part, it'll probably be a hurtful thing for another person if they are interested in continuing the friendship, and we're going to suppose that they are. But I think it's better than just a, better is not, I think it's more ethical than just not conveying anything.
Uh-huh.
I think that it's definitely a lot more ethical than doing that, than just kind of, like I said, not returning a person's call for a long time or avoiding them in whichever, you know, manner that the person chooses to do it. I think that it was a lot better to to have some kind of an explanation. Okay, well, maybe I didn't feel that way, but that's how that person feels, and it wasn't really a mean thing to say. You know, it might have still hurt me, but it wasn't an intentionally mean or, you know, hurtful thing to say, but it was the way that person felt.
All right. Let me get Steve in. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, what I would throw in there is uncertainty. It can probably be universally understood to be a difficult place to be for a person. And if you've been having a friendship with someone, and then you're going to terminate your side of the friendship, but not say anything to that person, you have to know that you're placing them in a position of uncertainty. And if you were at any time a friend of theirs concerned about their supporting their having a good life, you wouldn't want it'd be unethical to then leave them in a state of uncertainty, because it's less difficult for you to have a face-to-face confrontation with them where you come right out and say, I no longer feel my pull towards being your friend is gone. That might be a difficult thing you'd like to shirk off, but it really isn't ethical to somebody that you've had this history of friendship with to leave them in the lurch, in this uncertain lurch. So that's where I think that this ethic turns upon is the nastiness of being left in this uncertainty. And I remembered the other thing that I was struggling with earlier, and that was the concept of investment. That lots of times in the tit-for-tat give and take of a friendship, we do a lot more giving with the expectation that we're going to be getting in waves. That we don't like, all right, you do one thing for me, then I turn around and do something for you. So sometimes we do a lot of investing, and that investment is justified by the expectation of the friendship lasting through time. And this is the unsettling part of somebody saying, well, friendships don't necessarily last forever. Well, that kind of undermines the whole freedom to invest in our friends because of this feeling of permanence. So this is another thing that has to be taken into account. I don't think that it's ethical to terminate a friendship where the friendship account is way, way, way in your favor. And, you know, I don't mean to be monetary about the thing, but this is what I think upsets a lot of people. Is when you've invested a lot in the friendship and then the friendship is terminated and you know, things weren't square between you at the time.
I think there's some key elements there, the idea of investment and the idea of, well, back to one we mentioned already, but I think it's core here, and that's expectation. And Eugene talked about it earlier about the trouble expectation can cause if it's one-sided. In other words, that if I had an expectation and I thought you had the same expectation, but you didn't, then there can be trouble down the road. So that expectation game is a key one to deal with, seems to me. Another one that is very much related that we haven't talked that much about is communication. Certain things I think probably are essential to communicate honestly, whereas other aspects, the honesty is not so important. In fact, it can be helpful to, as we said, whether it's the white lies or the support or it could be just playing around or having fun, but at certain core issues, it seems to me honest communication can prevent some problem of differing expectation. Debbie, let me get you in here with your, you have a hand up, go ahead.
Okay, well first I just wanted to clarify for a second with Steve Stokes. So when you were talking about investment, you mean somebody who invests a lot of time kind of on their end of the friendship, and then the friendship is somehow over and you're feeling like, oh, what happened here? Is that what you were? I think I missed part of what you said because I got to get out for a second.
Yeah. I'm saying in the situation where you're doing a lot of favors for your friend, and
okay.
Like maybe you're driving their kid to school every day, and anyway, you've done a lot for them in the relationship, much more than they've done for you.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, the friendship's over, and that's kind of what I'm talking about.
So
okay.
So Debbie, you have any thoughts on that? Debbie,
you're talking about wondering why. You mean, in other words, if I've done a lot of things for you in our friendship, and then all of a sudden it's over, you're talking about
that leaves a really bad feeling for you.
Okay, I gotcha.
To throw my two cents in here, Debbie, I think it relates again to the idea that that one party may have. One party will feel badly because the other party is, it seems to the first party that the second party is simply disposing of something that the first party had invested a lot in. And
right.
I mean, that sort of gets to your question of people disposing friendships too easily, it seems. I would, again, to be the devil's advocate, take the flip side and say, well, what about somebody's freedom to leave a relationship? Isn't that something that one has a right also to choose whether they want to be obligated to another person or not? There's two sides of the coin there.
Right.
And before, I don't want to go too far with that one because I know UJ had his hand up. Did you want to comment?
Yes,
on that?
I want to. I want to say what about the investment, because as I think Debbie mentioned, time. But you see, such thing as quantity time and quality time,
mm-hmm.
and such thing as quantity investment and quality investment. And so many times, when we had taken somebody's children to this place and done a lot of stuff, that may be just a lot of quantity time you're putting in. We may not really get into the quality that's relating to really what is involved in the essence of friendship. So usually when we invest, we not only have we have expectations, but it's like we are more concerned about from our investment the benefits is coming. In other words, it's like almost a quick pro, quick thing, you know, that I'm invest this, we go get this. But we see how people have done in other investments. Look at the stock market. And look at all these people who lost in the junk bonds. That's what they were doing. The same thing you're talking about here. You invest and you're going to get this bill. But how many of them fail to profit, you know, by that investment? So I think that in friendship in particular, we ought to be able to say that what I do it so freely and do it so lovingly and do it from my heart that, you know, if this thing ended before the sun went down, or if I didn't get anything back, it's still beautiful because I didn't do it for that breakfast. I did it because this is what I really wanted to do. And that within itself is the full satisfaction.
Okay, so the act itself would be the its own reward.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's see, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, following along, I have to acknowledge what UJ's saying. It sounds like the courtly love of medieval times that, you know, you love someone without any expectation that they will return that love to you. And that was seen as a very high and chaste and pure kind of type of way to love somebody else. But this whole, you know, I can be somebody's friend, and if they don't return friend, what I wanted to talk about, we haven't really dropped this word in here, and that's affection. That the whole notion that humans are very much concerned about being loved, that are you know, being social creatures, it's very paramount to us that we are loved because our existence depends on, you know, teamwork and being part of the human community. And so part of what's going into friendship that we haven't talked about is our need for affection, and that having a friend feeds this affection thing, and also our need to give affection. Having a friend is an outlet for this inner wanting to express affection towards others. And this just leads to another question that I'm sure we'd have to tackle in another session, is romantic relationships that don't start as friendships. Is there something weird about that relationship that we don't strive to first have friends first and then let friendships develop deeper, stronger, and turn into romances from that point of view?
That's an interesting question.
So that and then the other thing is, in friendships you've got this ethic of give and take, that you know, I got a friend who did computer repair, and when I would come to him with a computer problem, he would say he was giving me his best buddy prices because he's my friend, and so he's going to give me the cheapest price he can for making this repair. So there's the acknowledgement of an existing friendship in that he's going to, you know, make it as cheap for me as possible to do it. But then there's another friendship where I take my thing to be repaired to this guy, and I'm his friend, and I want his business to survive, and so I don't want a discount. I want to pay the full amount because that's what would make his business thrive. Is, you know, he can't lose time giving it away to me, his friend, when he's got to earn a living. So there's this whole dynamic of who gets and who gives in the give and take of a friendship.
All right. A couple of things that I want to pick out here. All sorts of issues. The one that's, you know, very important to the conversation, coming kind of late, which often happens, is we get to some key things here, and that is getting your needs met, and friendship as a means to get certain kinds of needs met. And I think I like the way you pointed out that both receiving and giving can be, you know, seen as human needs, the need to not only to receive affection, but the need to give affection. So that's one whole aspect of, it's not just an option. rational thing for the good life is that there is something that friendship brings us that is, you know, as necessary perhaps as, you know, food and water. It seems to me that one can look to a friendship for getting those needs met, and also can legitimately ask, is this friendship meeting my needs? And that might be a reason why someone does choose to end one friendship and maybe build a different one, because his or her needs weren't getting met. So the idea of needs, and then there was the, I lost my train of thought now, the other thing that you were talking about.
Who gets and who gives within the relationship?
Well, yeah, that's all part of the the need to give.
Affection,
and affection, all that sort of the need. Let me let Debbie in here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
This is sort of maybe a future discussion also, but it was another thing I sort of was pondering is how the differences maybe between men and women, and like how they view friendships, and then also what are there different ethics things between like a male-female friendship than there are between like female-female and male-male, and it just that I often find it interesting to hear the other, you know, sex's viewpoint on something. And actually it's a lot of times for me, this is a personal thing, seems to be easier to have a friendship with a male, because I feel like there's less I don't know what the right word is, maybe confusion. There's less of that's happened to me in my experience with the, you know, another having a misunderstanding or not knowing why a friendship ended and all that kind of stuff. I find that a rare occurrence in friendships with males. So I just thought it's just an interesting, observation to me.
Yeah, it's a rich question. I'm going to let you have the last word here because we are coming to the end.
I see you.
So let's go ahead.
Well, I'll be very brief. I mentioned earlier this in another form, but it's like saying how lovers can become friends. If someone mentioned you ought to become friends first, and then later on you become lovers. But it doesn't work that way, because usually it takes time to develop a relationship. And it's like many people don't grow up until after they're grown. And so many people cannot develop friendships until after they are in love in terms of that. And many of them never reach that. And it relates to these needs. One of these needs, I think you touched upon it, Steve, is that people have, I think I.H. Thomas mentioned the fact that among his six needs, one of them is the need for new experiences. And so if you're in a situation where you're not having some new experiences and expanding, then it simply means that your needs are not being met in that sense. The other thing is that about this is that you cannot get all of your needs met with any one person. You see, so you have to say, all right, I get water from the well, but if you understand, if I want bread, I go to the supermarket.
All right. One more need I'm going to throw out there. I can't resist it. So I guess I'm going to have them steal the last word here. Is the need to grow. And I'm going to leave it on that because we're out of time. And so I just want to say thank you to all the participants for sharing your thoughts. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. For more information about this show and how you, the listener, can participate on the show, visit our website at www.citizenphilosopher.com. Until next time, this is Steve Donaldson wishing you all the joys of philosophical reflection. And remember, thinking is a good thing. Everyone has a right to enjoy it.